name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. That seek after my soul, let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt.
Thank you.
Almighty and merciful God, of whose only gift it cometh that thy faithful people do unto thee true and laudable service, grant, we beseech thee, that we may so faithfully serve thee in this life that we fail not finally to attain thy heavenly promises. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Confession of 1530, the conclusion of the chief articles of the faith. The above articles we desire to present in accordance with the edict of your imperial majesty in order to exhibit our confession and let men see a summary of the doctrine of our teachers. If there is anything that one might desire in this confession, we are ready, God willing, to present ampler information according to the scriptures. And then the signatures of those rulers of the Lutheran estates, and I'll leave those for you to read. The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 29, reading verses 18 and 19. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. This is our Old Testament reading. The epistle reading from the second letter of the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Corinth, chapter 3, reading from verses 4 through 11. And such trust we have through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. So far our reading of the gospel. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
text this morning is the epistle reading from Paul's second letter to the Christians in Corinth, chapter 3, verses 4 through 11. I'd like to call your attention at this time to verses 4 through 6. We have such trust or confidence through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also makes us sufficient as ministers of the New Covenant or New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Please be seated. Paul is struggling with his believers in the city of Corinth, who have gone off, or many have been drawn away, by false teachers who are preaching some kind of a trust in doing something to fulfill the law to make yourself worthy or sufficient before God. It's a problem that Paul had in a number of different places. Here he calls the law itself, the letter of the law, ministry of death. And that is, in fact, what the law does and is, does it not? It always condemns. God's law is always a sentence of death because it always condemns us as falling short of what we should be and what we should do. So Paul is defending his ministry, what we think of as the ministry of the gospel. He uses that term sufficiency here. Our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient as ministers of the New Testament. The word here, as most words in most languages, has a fairly broad range of meaning. A little later on in this same letter to the Christians in Corinth, he uses the same word in talking about his own personal sufficiency, or in this case, the opposite, the insufficiency. He says, I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy. That's this word we have as sufficiency in our text. Am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. So he's saying that those who preach as he does have their worthiness, their sufficiency from God. It's his doctrine, his teaching, not his personal self or even his personal ministry that Paul is defending. It's the doctrine. It's the doctrine that he preaches everywhere. And we're familiar with it, are we not? To the Ephesians he writes, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And Paul fights for that doctrine without regard to who or what, and he fights with harsh words whenever they're needed. Same problem was going on when he wrote to the Christians in Galatia. There were men saying, and specifically in that area, in order to be saved, you know, they were saying, Paul, he preached pretty good, but he didn't tell you, you have to be circumcised. The law says you have to be circumcised. And Paul, in the beginning of that letter, says, even if we, that's he's talking about himself, or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel, any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. He's saying, if I preach something other than what I have preached to you, the gospel of Christ, let me be accursed, let me be damned, he's saying. We ministers of the New Testament, he says in our text, our sufficiency, our worthiness is from God. He's talking in terms of what we as Lutherans refer to as proper distinction between law and gospel. This text is really timely for this parish. We are in the process of beginning to work through a call list, a list of possible pastors for whom we might call our next pastor. The committee met last Wednesday. They are already hard at work working through a list of 30 names to get them down to a minimum of 5, I believe, through which we may vote, on which we may vote as to who will be our next pastor. In this day and age, it's going to be possible for any and all of us who have access to the internet to listen to some of these pastors preach, if we like. Most pastors have sermons, their congregation posted on their website, one thing or another. That's going to be available to us. The question is, what's the fundamental grounds for listening to sermons? Now, Paul says what we would call proper distinction of law and gospel, and he's absolutely right. These men are all pastors of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which means that they have subscribed to the Lutheran confessions and ought to be expected to preach proper distinction between law and gospel. But it doesn't matter who you're listening to or where the sermon comes from. If you're listening to what claims to be a sermon, the fundamental, primary thing by which you judge that sermon is proper distinction between law and gospel. Teaching junior confirmants, I never asked them to write sermon outlines and all sorts of other things that I've heard others do. I asked them to do a sermon critique. And this is what the sermon critique was. Based on the old international distress signal, SOS. It seems like that's the proper thing when we're talking about our relationship with God. We sinners are in distress, are we not? SOS, for the law and for the gospel. Law shows us our sin. Gospel shows us our Savior. The sermon critiques were very brief. There were only 2 questions that I required answers on, and they were SOS for the law and SOS for the gospel. What did I hear that made me realize that I am a sinner in my natural state, damned before God? And SOS for the gospel, what did I hear? It told me that I am saved through Jesus Christ. Little side story here. I always told them, you know, these day and age, these junior confirmands are not driving. The choice of whether they're going to be in the pew on Sunday morning is not their own. And so I'd always tell them, don't worry about it. If your family isn't going to be here for some reason, there's all kinds of sermons on the radio, some on TV, and I'm thinking of other Lutheran congregations. We hear them every Sunday morning on our way to church. Anyway, one day at Bible or at catechism, one of the students stood up and said, "Pastor O, I don't know, I couldn't do a sermon critique." I said, "Well, what was the matter?" And this, by the way, was in the days where the Crystal Cathedral was still in business.
I listened to the Crystal Cathedral and I couldn't hear, I couldn't find any law or gospel. Woo! Right on. That one, that student got a high five and a shout from his little pastor. That is what tells us the worthiness, the sufficiency. Because our own personal sufficiency, our own personal worthiness before God is based, lies buried in the proper distinction of law and gospel. SOS, the law, shows our sin. Listen to Luther on that. God has given his law precisely for this reason, that it should bite, cut, chop, slaughter, and sacrifice the old man, my human nature. For it is to terrify the arrogant, ignorant, secure old Adam and show him his sins and death in order that he might be humbled, despair of himself, and desire grace. As St. Paul says, the power of sin is the law. SOS, the gospel, shows our Savior. Luther again. Therefore, we preach something better, the Spirit and the New Testament, which is that Jesus Christ has come for your sakes and taken your sins upon himself. There you hear not what you should do, but what God is doing through Christ, which means, of course, that he works faith and bestows the Holy Spirit. This is what it means to preach the New Testament and the Holy Spirit. Our sufficiency is from God. Our sufficiency is from God, who says, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Our sufficiency, our worthiness, is Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
From my friend.
conclude a prayer this morning for the call process in our parish and for our communicants. Lord Jesus Christ, you instituted the office of the public ministry and have instructed us to call ministers of your word. Guide us now by your Holy Spirit as we consider the candidates so that we may finally call him whom you would send to teach and guide us by your word and sacraments. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto you all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and to give them rest to their souls, we pray thee, let these guests experience thy love at the heavenly feast which thou hast prepared for thy children on earth. Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of the righteousness purchased with thy holy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life, grant them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own name's sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly
meet, right, and salutary. necessary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with thine only begotten Son and the Holy Ghost art one God, one Lord, and in the confession of the only true God we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat the body of Christ.
given for you. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Take and drink the blood of Christ, shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and keep you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat the body of Christ, given for you.
Thank you.
good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.